We're going to be mostly in the book of Romans, if you want to begin to turn there this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit tired of the bad news and that keeps running around, and then this pandemic that never ends, and still trying to get used to a new type of normal, I guess. And so I thought today, as we gather together, that we would look at celebrating Jesus. We just celebrated His birth yesterday, and so today I thought it would be good if we celebrated the Lord Jesus Christ and share some of the blessings of being a Christian. Some of the blessings of being a Christian. In other words, Christ came that we could be saved and be Christians, take on His name. And so what are some of those blessings? Because Christ came, John 10:10 tells us, that we might have life and have it abundantly. Indeed, the gospel itself is good news. If we look at Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, the Apostle Paul writing there, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." You see, good news to those who were living under dire circumstances, and that was us in our sin. And we'll look at some of that as we go through this, but I want us to focus on some of the blessings right now, and one of them is just being reconciled to God. In other words, we were at odds with God, and Jesus reconciled us to God. If you turn to Romans chapter 5, "Though we were sinners who deserved death, because the wages of sin is death, Christ stood in our place and took death for us." Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Let's read those. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." That was us, the ungodly, the weak and ungodly. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 7 simply is stating that there may be a few people that would die for someone else, but that person would have to be a pretty good person for someone else to die. Right? They would have to think highly of them. For a good person, one would even dare to die. But that was not God. He didn't die because we were good. We were still sinners. Weak, ungodly sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, "Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God." And now notice the turn to the word reconciliation. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, also we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." We were weak, ungodly sinners who were enemies of God, and then Christ died for us that we could be reconciled to God. Through faith, we can be declared righteous in the courtroom of God, saved from God's wrath. But more than being justified in God's courtroom, and He says, "Oh, you're righteous, and so you don't have to face the penalty of sin." Not only that, He reconciled us to God. In other words, we were under God's wrath at one point, but elsewhere in the book of Romans, it talks about how that once we place our faith in Christ and we are reconciled to God, we're now at peace with Him. We're at peace and under grace. It is wonderful to be a Christian because we have been reconciled to God. We're not His enemies. We need not fear Him anymore. Christ's death pays the penalty for our sin, but we also need God's righteousness to have eternal life. In other words, to dwell in God's presence, He can have no sin around, so we need a righteousness that is not our own. Thank God He gave us that through faith in Christ in Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21, verse through 25. It says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. In other words, how can we have God's righteousness? And he says, there's a way to get it outside the law. In other words, the law reveals to us God's righteous character, but we fail to rise up to that standard of righteousness. We've sinned and fallen short of that. And so now we need another way to have God's righteousness. And so he has provided it for us. The righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God, here it is, through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. That word propitiation in verse 25, it is an offering that satisfies wrath. An offering that satisfies wrath. I've given you the example before. There are times when you, husbands, may do something, or children may do something with your spouse or your parents, and you've made them angry, and you've offended them. And it's going to take more than just, I'm sorry. And I know there have been times in my life where I've messed up with Kim and I've angered her. And so what do I do? I've said I'm sorry, but she's still angry. And so what I can do, some of the things that I can do, and sometimes I do all of these, is I go out and I get some flowers. And then if it's really bad, I get some candy. And then if it's really, really bad, then I'll get some ice cream. I try to cover all the bases, right? And so then I come home, and the door's locked. And so I ring the doorbell, and she comes to the door. And she sees me, and I say, I'm sorry. And she looks on the gifts that I have and forgives me. Okay? So she sees the offerings that I have and forgives me. It's an offering that satisfies wrath. It's hard to be angry when you're eating ice cream, right? Okay, so, now, that's a very small way. I just want you to get the picture of an offering that satisfies wrath. Now, our sin was a terrible offense against God. And so, we needed a propitiation, an offering that satisfies the wrath of God. And God gave us that in Christ. Christ went and took our sins upon Himself on the cross. And so, God put Him forward as a propitiation that we can receive by faith. So if by faith we offer Jesus Christ up to God as our offering for our sin, He looks on Christ and forgives us. What a blessing propitiation is. Christ's death pays the penalty for our sin. And we need God's righteousness. So God looks upon Christ, forgives us of our sin, and then joins us to Christ. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. And now if I'm joined to Christ, at least as of right now, one of us has died. Who died? Christ. Right? So His death pays for my sins because I'm spiritually joined to Him. We are one. It's like a husband and wife are considered one in God's eyes. So we are one. His death pays for my sins, but not only that, His righteousness becomes mine. So through faith in His sacrifice, I'm joined to Him, I receive a payment for my sin, and I receive a righteousness that's not my own. We see this more clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, for our sake, He, that is the Father, made the Son to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. So we receive Christ's righteousness. What love God has shown for us. It's wonderful to be a Christian because our sins are atoned for by Christ's death. That word atone, it's the covering of sin that brings us reconciliation. If you think about it, the word atonement, it's an English word that was made up to kind of explain this thing of it's a covering of sin that takes us and makes us at one with God. Atonement. At one. Atonement. Reconciliation with God. It's wonderful to be a Christian because our sins are atoned for by Christ's death. And it is wonderful to be a Christian because we've been joined to Christ and have His righteousness. So that when God looks upon us, He sees His Son. And so in His courtroom, we are declared righteous. We are justified. But there's even more good news. Look over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, because we, by our natural birth to Adam, are slaves to sin. And Paul is going to contrast how our salvation, becoming a Christian, takes us out of that sinful slave, or that slavery to sin. Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You see, when we are saved, God places His Spirit, His Holy Spirit within us. And we didn't receive that Spirit so that we could fall back into the fear of judgment of God. And we also received that Spirit not that we could remain slaves to sin, but we would be then adopted into God's family to where we can call God our Father, as Jesus taught us to pray. So then in verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. You see, we are adopted into the family of God. And when we are adopted into a family, we become full heirs with the other family members. So we get God, we get everything that Christ gets, we get a piece of that. So what's Christ own? Everything, right? So we get to be heirs with Him of everything. It's wonderful to be a Christian because we have been adopted into the family of God. Adoption is such a beautiful thing. Doesn't matter what type of father or mother you may have had down here on this earth and how good and godly they were, or how bad and terrible they were, or absentee fathers. We are all sons of our father Adam, but now we are sons of God through adoption in Christ. And we have a perfect Heavenly Father. Now that's some good news, but it gets even better. It's wonderful to be a Christian because we've been reconciled to God, but we've also been redeemed. Redeemed. Look at Romans 6, verse 6. We've been redeemed from slavery to sin and the power of Satan. Paul is contrasting here. Romans 6, verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Look down to verse 17. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. We were slaves of sin, in bondage to sin. Sinning was what we did. We were enslaved to it. But Christ paid for those sins, and we died to ourselves. And we were resurrected in Christ, and now we are no longer slaves to sin. We are free to serve and be slaves to righteousness. Romans 6:22. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. God saved us from sin, and in our sinful state, He loved us enough not to leave us like that. He has begun this process of sanctifying us, making us more like Jesus Christ. And so we become slaves to righteousness. We follow His ways. It's wonderful to be a Christian because we've been redeemed from slavery to sin, but that's not all. In Acts 26, at the end of verse 17 and beginning of verse 18, Jesus says to Paul, "I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." You see, we receive forgiveness of sins, but we turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God, to God. So it's wonderful to be a Christian because we've been redeemed from slavery to sin and the power of Satan. Beloved, you've been set free. Yes, we will still wrestle with sin, but we're on the winning side. We've been saved from sin, and then we've been given a new purpose. We've been repurposed for kingdom usefulness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, "And Christ died for all, that those who live," that be you and I that have placed our faith in Christ, "that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised." You see, this is where we talk about, you may hear a phrase used, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that He is our Savior and our Lord, right? Or He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. See, He becomes our Lord, that we are no longer to live for ourselves, because I did that for many, many years. But then I realized that that led to sin, and I needed to be saved from God's wrath on my sin. So I placed my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so He saved me from my sin, and now He's given me a new purpose. He's my Lord. I'm to live not for myself, but for Him who died for me. There are competing ideologies out there in this world today, and they sometimes sound very convincing, and they sound a lot easier than God's ways. But the thing of it is, folks, is that Christ died for us. I'm going to follow the One who died for me. He is my Lord. Have you made Him your Lord? Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, what we call the Great Commission, what Jesus has called us to. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, it says, "Jesus came to His disciples and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" So He's the Lord of all. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We are to, as church members here at Faith Baptist Church, we are to give the gospel to others. And then those who receive the gospel, we're to baptize them. We guard the gospel through baptism in the Lord's Supper. In other words, we only baptize those who confess the true things about Christ and His gospel. And we have communion with those who are following the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience. But then we grow Christians, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It's wonderful to be a Christian because we've been repurposed for kingdom usefulness. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get discouraged with things in this world, and I get down. And oftentimes, it's because I've lost focus on my purpose. A sense of discouragement overtakes us many times when we begin to try to be something or invest ourselves in something that is not what we were meant for. Growing up on the farm, sometimes we'd be out working on something and we wouldn't have the right tool. And it'd be one of those situations where we had to use a screwdriver as a hammer, you know, that type of thing. We had to use a tool that was meant to do one thing for another purpose. And now sometimes we had to do that, but the point is, a lot of times that led to frustration. Because we were trying to use something that it wasn't made for. And beloved, sometimes in your life, if you are experiencing frustration, it very well could be that you are not doing what it is that God wants you to be doing. You're not fulfilling your purpose. You're over here trying to be a hammer when God has made you to be a screwdriver. Find your place in the body of Christ and serve Him. Give the gospel. Help guard the gospel in your local church and help to grow other Christians through discipleship. Be about the purposes that God has created you for. Don't lose focus in your life. The future of America? Who knows? Pandemic situation getting better or worse? Who knows? Fretting about the government and the pandemic draws our focus away from our purpose. We have to live wisely in the world, but we have to live purposely for our King. Our church is an outpost of God's kingdom, an embassy where the rule of Jesus Christ is represented, a place for us to refocus our priorities. It's wonderful to be a Christian because we have been repurposed for kingdom usefulness. Jesus said this in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Our future with Christ is difficult because we will have tribulations, but then it gets really good. Astoundingly good. So make God's kingdom the highest priority of life, of your life. Surely it will be difficult, but the ending is beautiful. It is wonderful to be a Christian because we are awaiting our resurrection to eternal life. We are awaiting our resurrection to eternal life. Are you being persecuted? Hang in there. You're going to be resurrected to eternal life. Sometimes you may be suffering physical issues. I know I'm diabetic. I look forward to the day that I don't have to take pills for my diabetes. And I mean that by not saying, boy, I can't wait to start taking shots for it, right? That's not what I'm talking about at all. These bodies don't satisfy. They don't find fulfillment here on this earth. They're going to find their greatest fulfillment in eternity. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 49 through 58, talk about our resurrection and the new bodies that we will have. And we'll end with this passage, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49 through 58. "Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Who's the man of dust there? Adam, right? Who's the image of the man of heaven? Jesus, right? So verse 50 says, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." So these bodies can't make it into the kingdom of God. They're perishing. They are sinful. So what's going to happen? Well, verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That means that we won't all die, because somebody's going to be alive when Jesus Christ returns. That'd be really cool to be one of those people. But, you know, not if I'm getting to like 150, right? "We will not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." So Paul's writing as if it could be that he'll be alive at that time. So the dead, those who have already died in Christ, are going to be raised, and they're going to be raised to be imperishable, and we're going to be changed. "For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and then this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You see, it's wonderful to be a Christian because we've been reconciled to God, redeemed for His purposes, and we are awaiting a resurrection to eternal life. So, this morning, if you've gotten your focus off of God's kingdom, make God's kingdom the highest priority of your life. When Jesus taught us to pray in what we typically call the Lord's Prayer, what I like to call the model prayer, how does it begin? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, or may your name be seen as holy. Your what? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. When we begin to pray, when you're praying in the morning for your day, one of the best things you can do is to focus. May God, may your name be seen as holy by my life today. And may your kingdom work be done through me today. Right? Because we have a tendency to want to live for ourselves. But we've been set free from that and we've been repurposed to live for God. And so even in the things, in all the little things that go on in life, we have to remember, we have a purpose. And that purpose is to make God's name be known as holy. His reputation is holy because we are His image bearers. So when people see us, they should see how God would be. And then our priorities in life are His kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. So make God's kingdom the highest priority of your life.